Okay, yes. Chris is back this week for another session. Thank you, by the way.
You're welcome. I enjoy it.
Amy will be back eventually. She's got grandbabies being born. She's sick. She's got about 25 things going on. But that's okay, because we love her, and that's just what life is throwing at her right now.
Hey, those are some good things to be throwing at. Most of those are good problems.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Let's start with a prayer. Lord, open our hearts, spiritual eyes, and ears to hear and understand your word through this Bible study. Please guide our conversation. Protect us from the evil one who wants to distract and interrupt us. Be with those who are hurting right now. Let them know you are right beside them, Lord, guiding them through their trials. Just wrap them in your love and comfort. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to be talking about, we're a little bit into 2 Kings and Chronicles, and then we're going to go into Jeremiah. Now, normally we would recap what we spoke about last time, but we're going to recap a session before that.
You're skipping our last session? Could you go back to the previous session?
Well, here's why. Because last time we talked about Nahum and Habakkuk and Zephaniah.
Mm-hmm.
In this session that we're going to be talking about, it's we're going to be going into Jeremiah. I felt as though we should kind of recap what was going on with Jeremiah.
I see.
To get us up to speed.
Was that one recording you did with Amy?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's why the name wasn't familiar.
That's right. So now you'll have an understanding of what was going on as well.
Okay.
So we're going to recap 2 Kings 21 through 23, and then the parallel 2 Chronicles 33 through 35, and Jeremiah 1 through 6. So in there we learn King Josiah of Judah reigned obediently to the Lord. Jeremiah lived and prophesied during the reigns of the last five kings of Judah and was anguished by their coming judgment. The book of the law was found in the temple, and King Josiah pledged to obey the Lord by keeping all his commands, laws, and decrees with all his heart and soul. Now, the paragraph before we get into scripture in our Bible said Pharaoh Necho, I'm going to say Necho, N-E-C-O.
Yeah.
Necho?
I'd go Necho.
Okay. Of Egypt wanted to help the waning Assyrian Empire hold off Babylonian domination. So he decided to march north past Judah to assist Assyria in battle. Josiah, however, decided to stop Egypt from intervening and was killed in battle. This led to a 4-year period when Egypt dominated Judah. Now we move into 2 Kings 23, verses 29 and 30, where Josiah dies in battle. And it's kind of a recap of what was just read. King Josiah was killed by the Pharaoh of Egypt, and then Josiah's son Jehoiaz was anointed the next king. That's all I had for there. But when we move to 2 Chronicles 35, 20 through 27, which is the parallel verse, we get a lot more details. We learn that the Pharaoh sent messengers to Josiah, letting him know he had no quarrels with him. God told the Pharaoh to fight the Assyrians, which is something, you know, considering it's the Egyptians, but God was using the Pharaoh for, you know, his grand plan. And Josiah refused to listen to the Pharaoh, would not turn back. Josiah disguised himself and led his army into battle, where he was killed. In the notes, we learn the Pharaoh who wanted to make Egypt a world power was worried about Babylon's growing strength, so he marched his army north through Judah to help the Assyrians at Carchemish. But King Josiah of Judah tried to prevent the Pharaoh from passing through his land on his way to Carchemish. Josiah may have thought that both nations would turn on him after the battle with Babylon, but instead Josiah was killed and Judah became a vassal state to Egypt. The Pharaoh went on to Carchemish and held off the Babylonians for 4 years, but in 605 he was soundly defeated and Babylon moved into the spotlight as the dominant world power. The other note says Josiah ignored Pharaoh Necho's message because of who he was, king of a pagan nation. The mistaken assumption that the Pharaoh could not be part of God's larger plan cost Josiah his life. While not everyone who claims to have a message from God really does, God's messages may come in unexpected ways. God had spoken to pagan kings in the past. Don't let prejudice or false assumptions blind you to God's message.
Very nice.
Anything for there?
No.
Okay, so Jeremiah 47, verses 1 through 7, Jeremiah's message about Felicia. Jeremiah received a message from the Lord regarding the Philistines. A flood was going to destroy the region. That's basically what was going on there.
Okay.
Moving on to Jeremiah 48, 1 through 47, Jeremiah's message about Moab, and Moab would soon lie in ruins. The note for there says Moab was condemned for its pride. God cannot tolerate pride because pride is looking down on others or taking personal credit for what God has done. God does not condemn our taking satisfaction in what we do, but he stands against overestimates of our own importance. Romans 12:3 teaches us to have an honest estimate of ourselves. And this is what Romans 12:3 says. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Any questions?
No.
Comments? Anything?
No.
Okay. 2 Kings 23, verses 31 through 35. Jehoiaz. I don't know why I have a problem with that one.
Well, that makes sense.
Jehoiaz rules in Judah. And I just had a note for there. The people appointed Jehoiaz, one of Josiah's sons, to be Judah's next king. But Pharaoh Necho was not happy with their choice. So he exiled Jehoiaz to Egypt, where he died. Necho then installed Eliakim, another of Josiah's sons, as king of Judah, changing his name to Jehoiakim, and he was little more than a puppet ruler. The parallel is 2 Chronicles 36, 1 through 4, and that's essentially the same. As we've mentioned before in previous podcasts, just because we kind of breeze over something doesn't mean that it isn't important by any means. It's just, this is kind of it's a basic Bible study, and we don't want to get hunkered down in minutia.
Sure. That makes sense.
2 Kings 23, verses 36 through 37, Jehoiakim begins to rule in Judah. He ruled in Judah for 11 years and did evil in the Lord's sight. And the note there says, Josiah followed God, but Jehoiakim, his son, was evil. He killed the prophet Uriah and was dishonest, greedy, and unjust with the people. Jehoiakim also rebelled against Babylon, switching his allegiance to Egypt. The parallel 2 Chronicles 36:5 is essentially the same. Okay, now we're getting back into Jeremiah. Jeremiah 22 verses 1 through 5, Jeremiah's message for Judah's kings. And could you please read all the verses 1 through 5?
Jeremiah's message for Judah's kings. This is what the Lord said to me. Go over and speak directly to the king of Judah. Say to him, listen to this message from the Lord. You, king of Judah, sitting on David's throne, let your attendants and your people listen too. This is what the Lord says. Be fair-minded and just. Do what is right. Help those who have been robbed. Rescue them from their oppressors. Quit your evil deeds. Do not mistreat foreigners, orphans, and widows. Stop murdering the innocent. If you obey me, there will always be a descendant of David sitting on the throne here in Jerusalem. The king will ride through the palace gates in chariots and on horses, with his parade of attendants and subjects. But if you refuse to pay attention to this warning, I swear by my own name, says the Lord, that this palace will become a pile of rubble.
Thank you. And the one note we had for there, God gave the king the basis for rebuilding the nations. Turn from evil and do right. Doing what is right is more than simply believing all the right doctrines about God. It means living in obedience to God. Good deeds do not save us, but they display our faith. Jeremiah 22, verses 6 through 9, Jeremiah's message about the palace. And could you please read verses 8 through 9? 8 and 9.
8 and 9.
Yes, please.
People from many nations will pass by the ruins of this city and say to one another, "Why did the Lord destroy such a great city?" And the answer will be, "Because they violated their covenant with the Lord, their God, by worshiping other gods."
Jeremiah 22:10-12, Jeremiah's message about Jehoiakim. The people were told not to mourn Jehoiakim's death. That's essentially what was going on there. Jeremiah 22:13-23, a message about Jehoiakim. And could you please read verses 13-19?
And the Lord says, "What sorrow awaits Jehoiakim, who builds his palace with forced labor? He builds injustice into its walls, for he makes his neighbors work for nothing. He does not pay them for their labor. He says, 'I will build a magnificent palace with huge rooms and many windows. I will panel it throughout with fragrant cedar and paint it a lovely red.' But a beautiful cedar palace does not make a great king. Your father, Josiah, also had plenty to eat and drink. But he was just and right in all his dealings. That is why God blessed him. He gave justice and help to the poor and needy, and everything went well for him. Isn't that what it means to know me?" says the Lord. "But you have eyes only for greed and dishonesty. You murder the innocent, oppress the poor, and reign ruthlessly. Therefore, this is what the Lord says about Jehoiakim, son of King Josiah. The people will not mourn for him, crying to one another, 'Alas, my brother! Alas, my sister!' His subjects will not mourn for him, crying, 'Alas, our master is dead. Alas, his splendor is gone.' He will be buried like a dead donkey, dragged out of Jerusalem and dumped outside the gates."
And I didn't have any notes for that section, but any questions?
No.
Okay. Jeremiah 26, verses 1 through 24, Jeremiah's escape from death. And here, the Lord sent Jeremiah a message regarding Jehoiakim and was to deliver it in front of the temple of the Lord to all the worshipers of Judah. The Lord wanted them to change their evil and sinful ways. The Lord told them if they didn't listen to the prophets, he would destroy the temple as he did in Shiloh, where the tabernacle was. The Judeans did not take kindly to Jeremiah's message, wanting to kill him afterwards. They believed he was a traitor and felt threatened. Jeremiah explained these were the Lord's words, and the officials cooled down. And there's a couple notes for here. God reminded Jeremiah that he wanted his entire message given, quote-unquote, include every word. Jeremiah may have been tempted to leave out the parts that would turn his audience against him, sound too harsh, or make him sound like a traitor. But by God's command, he was not to delete parts of God's message to suit himself, his audience, or the circumstances in which he found himself. Like Jeremiah, we must never ignore or exclude important parts of God's word to please someone. And the other note said, when Jeremiah said that Jerusalem, the city of God, would become an object of cursing and the temple would be destroyed, the priests and false prophets were infuriated. The temple was important to them because the people's reverence for it brought them power. By saying that the temple would be destroyed, Jeremiah was undermining their authority. Jesus also infuriated the religious leaders of his time by foretelling the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. Okay, so 2 Kings 24, verses 1 through 4. It's Babylon's first invasion of Judah, and then also Jehoiakim rebels against Babylon. It didn't have anything for that section. We move on to Jeremiah 25, verses 1 through 14. Jeremiah predicts 70 years of captivity. And would you mind reading verses 4 through 14, please?
Again and again the Lord has sent you his servants, the prophets, but you have not listened or even paid attention. Each time the message was this: turn from the evil road you are traveling and from the evil things you are doing. Only then will I let you live in this land that the Lord gave to you and your ancestors forever. Do not provoke my anger by worshiping idols you made with your own hands. Then I will not harm you. But you would not listen to me, says the Lord. You made me furious by worshiping idols you made with your own hands, bringing on yourselves all the disasters you now suffer. And now the Lord of heaven's armies says, because you have not listened to me, I will gather together all the armies of the north under King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, whom I have appointed as my deputy. I will bring them all against this land and its people and against the surrounding nations. I will completely destroy you and make you an object of horror and contempt and ruin forever. I will take away your happy singing and laughter. The joyful voices of bridegrooms and brides will no longer be heard. Your millstones will fall silent, and the lights in your homes will go out. This entire land will become a desolate wasteland. Israel and her neighboring lands will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. Then, after the 70 years of captivity are over, I will punish the king of Babylon and his people for their sins, says the Lord. I will make the country of the Babylonians a wasteland forever. I will bring upon them all the terrors I have promised in this book, all the penalties announced by Jeremiah against the nations. Many nations and great kings will enslave the Babylonians, just as they enslaved my people. I will punish them in proportion to the suffering they cause my people.
Thank you. I know that was quite a bit.
Yeah.
One of the notes for there says, imagine preaching the same message for 23 years and continually being rejected. Jeremiah faced this, but because he had committed his life to God, he continued to proclaim the message. Quote, turn from the evil road you are traveling and from the evil things you are doing, end quote. Regardless of the people's response, Jeremiah did not give up. God never stops loving us, even when we reject him. We can thank God that he won't give up on us, and like Jeremiah, we can commit ourselves to never forsaking him. No matter how people respond when you tell them about God, remain faithful to God's high call and continue to witness for him. I can't imagine how frustrating that would have been for the prophets.
Oh, no. I can't either.
Just to continually be rejected and...
Well, you...
Because he, all the prophets were saying things that the people didn't want to hear.
Well, they were saying things that they heard, so the people either thought they were crazy. I mean, this is my take as a layperson. Who's to say that the crazy guy on the corner preaching about God right now isn't a prophet? And I use that as a parallel only in the sense of, were these prophets back then preaching about God for, or this particular gentleman for 23 years he preached and was deaf ears fell upon him. Did people think he was crazy or a false prophet or that they believed him but just chose to ignore him? There's kind of a few different angles, maybe more that I'm missing.
I think it's all the above. That and just straight out defiance.
Well, straight out defiance to me implies that they believe what he's saying, but they're like, yeah, I still not going to do it.
Yeah, I think it's all of it.
Yeah. Or, you know, the way I take it is, you know, what if that guy over there is actually knows what he's talking about? No one, everyone's walking by him, not listening to him, but maybe I need to be listening to him.
Well, in the sense that if you hear someone... You know, if you hear someone talking about the Lord, like, I remember a few months, well, it's been more than that, but it was a little while ago, there was a gentleman in front of Walmart just preaching. Like, the Lord stirred him to just start preaching. And I absolutely believe that the Lord or the Holy Spirit will, you know, push people to, if they need to say something, you got to say it right then and there, because maybe there's someone that needs to hear it.
Or, and I'm not dismissing that, I actually subscribe to what you said. Mm-hmm. Or is he crazy?
Well, I mean, they could be that,
but
too.
And what's, or who are we to judge who is crazy and who's not? Because it's the same, that's not, in some ways I draw a similarity to having driven, one of the times we drove back to your home in the Bay Area, or visited your family there, relatives, and Pacheco Pass, there it was a guy hauling a cross, a very large cross. You may have
yes.
On his shoulder.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah, guys do that every once in a while.
And I remember seeing that and thinking, kind of, I remember thinking, you know, is that guy just out of his mind, or has, and this was well before you were doing this, you know, or is there something that, is God talking to him, or is he just a kook?
Who's to say?
Right.
Who's to say, honestly? No. But you do remember that guy.
I do remember that guy.
So do you? I don't know. Oh, yes. Now that you mention him, yes, I do remember the gentleman that, and the cross was taller than him.
It was, I mean, I can't say that it was a, quote, full-size cross, but it was big enough to hold a person.
Oh, for sure. I don't, who knows what stirred him to do that? I mean, on some level, the Lord or the Holy Spirit kind of said, "Hey, this is what you need to do." Is it for him personally? Is it for other people? Both?
Yeah.
Who knows? But it didn't. It makes an impact because you know what? Every person that saw that gentleman remembers him.
Yeah.
So who knows down the line if someone's like, you know what? I think I'm just gonna open the Bible and just start reading a little bit.
Huh.
You don't know. You just don't know.
Good point.
Or was it purely a personal journey for him? It could be both.
No, it's a good point.
Now, in the Bible, they didn't want to hear someone come in and tell them how to do their business.
Thank you.
They wanted to run things their way. They wanted the power to work this way. And they thought it was almost blasphemy that someone came in and started telling them, wait, why do I have to do things this other way?
Right. No, they're addicted to the power in a lot of cases.
Yeah. Okay, so Jeremiah 25, verses 15 through 38, the cup of the Lord's anger. And could you please read verses 15 and 16, please?
This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said to me. Take from my hand this cup filled to the brim with my anger, and make all the nations to whom I send you drink from it. When they drink from it, they will stagger, crazed by the warfare I will send against them.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeremiah took the cup, and numerous leaders from many nations drank from it. And then in the note, it said Judah would not be the only nation to drink the cup of God's anger. Here, Jeremiah listed other wicked nations that would experience God's wrath at the hands of Babylon. Finally, Babylon itself would be destroyed because of its sin. Jeremiah 36, verses 1 through 20, Baruch reads the Lord's messages. And we're going to start with a note here. Most people in ancient times could neither read nor write, so those who could were highly esteemed. These men, called scribes or teachers, held positions of great importance and were very respected for their knowledge. Baruch was Jeremiah's scribe. Writing was often done on vellum or papyrus sheets that were sewn or glued together and stored in long rolls called scrolls. And could you please read verses 4 through 7, please?
So Jeremiah sent for Baruch, son of Neriah, and as Jeremiah dictated all of the prophecies that the Lord had given him, Baruch wrote them on a scroll. Then Jeremiah said to Baruch, I am a prisoner here and unable to go to the temple. So you go to the temple on the next day of fasting and read the messages from the Lord that I have had you write on this scroll. Read them so the people who are there from all over Judah will hear them. Perhaps even yet they will turn from their evil ways and ask the Lord's forgiveness before it is too late. For the Lord has threatened them with his terrible anger.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And just a side note, Jeremiah was thrown in prison by King Zedekiah of Judah for prophesying the king would hand over his land to the Babylonians. So in this case, the prophet was thrown in jail.
Yeah.
Now, Baruch read the message to the large crowd at the temple. The officials were alarmed by the Lord's words and recommended he leave the scroll there while Baruch and Jeremiah go into hiding. In the note, it said God told Jeremiah to write his words on a scroll. Because he was not allowed to go to the temple, Jeremiah asked his scribe Baruch, to whom he had dictated the scroll, to read it to the people gathered there. Baruch then read it to the officials, and finally Jehudi read it to the king himself. Although the king burned the scroll, he would not destroy the word of God. Today, many people try to put God's word aside or say that it contains errors and therefore cannot be trusted. People may reject God's word, but they cannot destroy it. God's word will stand forever. Jeremiah 36, verses 21 through 26, King Jehoiakim burns the scroll. So the scroll was read to King Jehoiakim. And if you could please read verse 23.
Each time Jehudi finished reading three or four columns, the king took a knife and cut off that section of the scroll. He then threw it into the fire, section by section, until the whole scroll was burned up. Neither the king nor his attendants showed any signs of fear or repentance at what they heard. Even when Elnathan, Deliah, and Jemariah begged the king not to burn the scroll, he wouldn't listen. Then the king commanded his son, Jeremiel, Sariah, son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, son of Abdeel, to arrest Baruch and Jeremiah. But the Lord had hidden them.
Well, thank you. The Holy Spirit said, keep reading.
I read too much.
No, I just wanted you to read 23, but that's wonderful.
Yeah, you can edit that out.
I am not. Not at all.
I didn't know when to stop.
So the king then demanded that Baruch and Jeremiah be arrested. And the note says only three leaders protested this evil act of burning the scroll containing God's word. This shows how complacent and insensitive to God the people had become. Not only did the king reject God's word, but he tried to destroy it. Speaking out against these actions took courage. Anyone who decides to live for God must be willing to stand for right, even if almost everyone else turns away. It is in the climate of darkness and sin that genuine faith shines most brightly. Isn't that something? Only three leaders were like, no. You shouldn't do this. Jeremiah 36, verses 27 through 32, Jeremiah rewrites the scroll, and the Lord had Jeremiah dictate an identical scroll to Baruch, but this time with an addition. And in Jeremiah 45, verses 1 through 5, Jeremiah's message for Baruch. In the note, it said, Baruch had long been serving this unpopular prophet, writing his book of struggles and judgments, and now he was upset. God told Baruch to take his eyes off himself and whatever rewards he thought he deserved. If Baruch did this, God would protect him. It is easy to lose the joy of serving God when we take our eyes off him. The more we look away from God's purposes toward our own sacrifices, the more frustrated we will become. As you serve God, beware of focusing on what you are giving up. When this happens, ask God's forgiveness, then redirect your attention to the incomparable privilege of serving God. Jeremiah 46, verses 1 through 28, Jeremiah's messages about Egypt. In this chapter, and this is one of the notes, in this chapter we gain several insights about God and his plan for this world. And there are five insights. Number one, although God chose Israel for a special purpose, he loves all people and wants all to come to him. 2, God is holy and will not tolerate sin. 3, God's judgments are not based on prejudice and a desire for revenge, but on fairness and justice. 4, God does not delight in judgment, but in salvation. And 5, God is impartial. He judges everyone by the same standard. Jeremiah 19, verses 1 through 15, Jeremiah's shattered jar. And in this section, the Lord had Jeremiah by a clay jar and asked several leaders and priests to follow him. Jeremiah eventually smashed the jar. And in part, verse 11 says, "As this jar lies shattered, so I will shatter the people of Judah and Jerusalem beyond all hope of repair." Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 1 through 6, Jeremiah and Pashur, P-A-S-H-U-R.
I go to Pashur.
Pashur. Now, Pashur was the priest in charge of the temple of the Lord. And he heard what Jeremiah prophesied and had him whipped and arrested. And if you could please read verses 3 and 4.
Verses 3 and 4. "The next day, when Pashur finally released him, Jeremiah said, 'Pashur, the Lord has changed your name. From now on, you are to be called the man who lives in terror. For this is what the Lord says, I will send terror upon you and all your friends, and you will watch as they are slaughtered by the swords of the enemy. I will hand the people of Judah over to the king of Babylon. He will take them captive to Babylon or run them through with the sword.'"
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The note says Pashur was the official in charge of maintaining order in the temple. He was also a priest and had pretended to be a prophet. After hearing Jeremiah's words, Pashur had him whipped and put in the stocks instead of taking his message to heart and acting on it. The truth sometimes shows what we are made of. We can deny the charges and destroy evidence of our misdeeds, or we can take the truth humbly to heart and let it change us. Pashur may have thought he was a strong leader, but he was really a coward. I think a lot of people, and this goes, I'm not saying I'm exempt from this, but people don't want to hear the truth, I think, sometimes.
Oh, sure, not. No, I agree. It's uncomfortable sometimes.
Yeah.
At the very least.
Yeah, because you have to take a close look.
Yeah.
At yourself. And I think deep down, like, you know what the truth is, but you just, you don't want to accept it. You don't want to admit it.
A lot of times.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think sometimes it takes somebody else to point something out for you to have an aha moment. Like, oh, shit. Or, excuse me. Oh, crap. You know?
Yeah.
Well, that's a little better.
Yeah, it's a little better.
You can edit that out. Oh, darn.
Oh, darn.
I never looked at it that way. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
I need to mull that over.
I mean, there's so many different things that go on with the truth, because you may be happy with how a situation is going or how life is going, and the truth will put you in an uncomfortable position, or it will have to change the trajectory of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have to change. There's a possibility of change. There's just a lot of things. That's human nature. I mean, that's just from the beginning of time. That's just how humans...
Oh, we live in our comfort zones.
Yeah.
And sometimes change... Not sometimes. Oftentimes, I'd imagine, change by nature for humans is uncomfortable. We're creatures of habit.
Yeah.
And to make... Depending on what the change is, it's taking you out of your comfort zone by its definition and making you do something different.
Yeah. Because it's very easy to look at this situation, and I'm not standing up for these decisions that they made back in the, you know, in the day. But when you just look at human nature, you can kind of understand it.
Yeah.
Like, these leaders and these rulers and even the priests, they were just like, listen, we like how things are going the way they are. Don't come in here and start telling us this and that.
Yeah.
Because then they have to start looking at themselves and how things have been going and how they've been running the church or the people or the temple. And
it's all a matter of relativity. Not relativity. It's relative to what's being asked of you. If it's an easy ask, not a big deal. If it's a challenging ask, big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a big deal. And you're not going to want to break from your comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, it's you can believe, it's a matter of what you're willing to do for God and who's delivering the message mm-hmm. and what the message is.
Now, this guy, Pashur, I mean, he was the official in charge of maintaining order in the temple. On top of that, he was also a priest and pretended to be a prophet.
Who's to say he wasn't a prophet? Or did he admit to pretending?
It says here he pretended to be a prophet.
Okay.
So, to maintain his own sense of order?
His own sense of order, yeah. Self-importance.
Yeah.
You know, people will listen to me.
People still do that to this day.
Sure. I mean,
that mentality really hasn't changed.
No.
Anything else for there?
No.
Okay, so Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 7 through 18, Jeremiah's complaint. Jeremiah cried out in despair, mixed with praise, unburdening his heart to God. He had faithfully proclaimed God's word and had received nothing in return but persecution and sorrow. Yet when he withheld God's word for a while, it became fire in his bones until he could hold it back no longer. When God's living message of forgiveness and love becomes fire in your bones, you also will feel compelled to share it with others, regardless of the results. That was the note.
Okay.
That's all I had.
Well, that was plenty.
Yeah.
Take it all in steps.
Okay, so let's give out some information. The email is basicbiblestudy19@gmail.com. Facebook at My Basic Bible Study, and that is where you can see what we're currently reading and the upcoming reading. And then also, if we post any pictures, they'll be there as well. The website, mybasicbiblestudy.com, you can find a lot of the sites where the podcast is posted.
Yeah.
Next time. You may be here next time. I don't know. Amy may be having another grandbaby. They're popping out all over. Daniel chapters 1 through 3 and Jeremiah chapters 7 through 10.
Very nice.
Thank you again.
You're welcome.
For filling in. I do appreciate it.
Not a problem. Don't mind it a bit.
Have a blessed week, everyone.
Yes, do it.